This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We welcome in our buddy James Hamm of the Insiders. Hammer, what's happening, man?
Not a whole lot. Yeah, kind of a quiet afternoon. Just nothing to see here on social media or anything.
I don't know why you're shouting at us.
Yeah, I mean, James is alluding to Unfollowgate going on with Fox and Sabonis. I mean, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But I did realize, like, oh, people are going to feel some type of way about this, even if we don't.
Mm-hmm.
And clearly.
And we very much do not, for the record. We very much do not.
Yeah, but people clearly do. The thing that I've continued to say is you have your reasons for doing it. Like, you don't just do it without a reason. De'Aaron said his reason. He didn't want to see King stuff on his timeline. I guess specifically Sabonis King stuff, because I don't know if he's unfollowed all the Kings, but...
Well, they said he still follows Vivek.
It's all right. Specifically, you don't want to see Sabonis celebrating.
Got to keep up with the latest dance moves. I don't know what you're talking about, Damian.
Or routes.
Routes, you got to keep up with the routes. Let's see. Let's see what Swiper's doing.
So, you know, they're saying he follows Monk. That's his boy, though, and he follows Keegan. That's also his boy.
He follows Doug, who I don't know Doug has ever posted. Doug is pre-PBR James Hamm. Like, he doesn't really post anything.
So, I mean...
There we go.
I guess the streets are saying, I guess Sabonis was the only one he unfollowed. So, but I mean, all right. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah, I don't think it matters either. I'm just like so ready to move on from that whole entire situation. And you know, like that's always focused is on the basketball. Like when we're in it, we're, you know, in the weeds, like trying to figure out what's happening and trying to track the whole story. That's one thing. But once it's over and done with and a player isn't here anymore, you watch him from afar. When he comes to town, you'll say hello to him. But outside of that, like I don't like getting into the whole social media thing and everything else that he said, she said after the fact. And hopefully it's down, hopefully it kind of blows over, but just kind of a weird sort of like secondary situation that, to be honest with you, is only going to play out negatively for Fox when they roll through town next month. Because it's not going to negatively affect Domantas Sabonis in any way, shape or form with the fans. He's still here. De'Aaron's not, and it feels a little weird and spilt milk stuff.
The one thing I will say is we're from a different culture, as Mike Tyson would say, where we don't get caught up in all that stuff. But this generation, that is a form of them getting whatever point they have across.
Mm-hmm.
And while it's nothing to us, that could be a form of him saying whatever it means. He said he didn't want to see no more King stuff. That's what he said on there. But he's following other Kings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's past. It has. I don't know if Fox is doing this way, but in this generation, it is one of their little passive aggressive tactics to show their displeasure with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And I know. Once again, I know we don't really care about, but that is news in this city right now. Like if Fox has got a problem with Sabonis, that's people are going to be talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all.
Yeah.
It's just,
well, I just hope that they just let it cool down and they don't fight fire with fire, because there's too much.
Oh, not me. I hope Domas cusses his ass out tonight. I think that'd be awesome.
They said Sabonis unfollowed him.
Love it.
Afterwards. Yeah. Love after it. Everything happened.
I hope he calls him a snake Wild. In the post game. Like, hey, what do we always say? Life is better when you look through it through the prism of what?
Pro wrestling.
Professional wrestling.
Yep.
To the little snake in San Antonio. Yeah, hey, keep the party going. I'm all with. Oh, it's good to get the snakes out of the locker room. The Golden One Center had a snake problem. I just like whatever. I'm all for this.
Now we've got a better snake problem. We got a snake solution.
Jake the snake. Damn right.
Snake and a mongoose.
So yeah. I mean, that's how they get down every now and then.
I remember very clearly when Dave Yeager and Brandon Williams had issues. Dave Yeager said, like, very clearly, he said, I talked to my dad this morning and he said something like, son, you got a cobra in there. You got to be a mongoose. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, go be the mongoose right now. It's like, all right. And that's what happened. Like, they just went at it. It was like, wow.
Okay, they both didn't make it. And nobody won. Team wasn't no good. They both didn't make it. How did that work out?
Yeah, that is the most, I think that story is the most Sacramento Kings story ever. The coach hated
that old story as well.
Assistant GM? General manager?
Yeah, I guess it was, yeah.
Yeah, assistant GM.
Amazing. Amazing.
Wild.
And once again, nobody won.
No, everyone lost. Everyone lost.
Sacramento, where bad basketball is always interesting.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if Charlotte Hornets basketball is interesting. Like I said, they haven't really done anything in 30 years. But yeah, I don't know.
Not since like Michael Jordan slapped like Malik upside the head or whatever that was. Like, I don't think it's been interesting since then.
And just to be clear, Mike, that was not okay.
No, you didn't have to do that.
You didn't have to do that, no. Mike. Come on, Mike.
Now, to be fair to Mike, he didn't know the cameras were on. He should have assumed.
This Michael Jeffrey Jordan. The cameras are always going to be on.
Yeah, he's on the bench. Right. He's on the bench.
They're always on.
I don't even remember.
On.
What did Malik do? Does anyone remember?
He got something to get a technical, like when they were trying to close the game out.
Oh, okay.
Didn't deserve that.
But. No, no.
Well, and also, to be fair, it's not like Mike just mollywopped him across the head. He just gave him a little tap. Like, come on, big dog.
Yeah, he did. He did. But it's Jordan, so it has a different connotation to it. Hammer, how do you? We've spent probably too much time today trying to figure out like exactly what the Sacramento Kings are right now. They've won a couple of games in a row. The wins haven't, you know, they're not high on style points. Like, the BCS would not be rewarding the Sacramento Kings with a high rating here. But like, what do you think about this you know, post De'Aaron Fox squad headed into, you know, two games against a bad basketball team right before the All-Star break?
Yeah, I mean, I always look, you know, we look at advanced statistics as like predictors. Right. So I remember telling you guys 2 years ago that I was looking at, you know, all of the advanced statistics with offensive rating, defensive rating, net rating, but a whole bunch of other stats. And the Kings were way better than their advanced stats were saying. Right. And then all of a sudden they started to take off and they started to match what the numbers were saying the whole time. Right now, the advanced statistics say this is a horrible basketball team. Dreadful, one of the worst five basketball teams in the league. and you go to the last 10 games, you go to the last 15 games, this thing has gone off the rails, and they've won some games, but they've won some games that probably they shouldn't have. And then they've lost some games in like embarrassingly bad fashion. But they're also a team that's going through like a severe trauma. And, you know, as a basketball team, they're trying to fight through and figure out who they are after like a major upheaval in the roster. And we don't know what that's going to look like on the other side yet. They haven't even had, you know, real practice time to sort of set this thing straight and give themselves an opportunity to get their legs underneath them. But for right now, like the advanced statistics are predicting that this is not going to be a great, you know, final 29 games for this team. That doesn't mean that they can't turn things around, that they can't figure out ways to be better than they have been. But I definitely, like, if you're looking for predictors, like they have to figure out how to play defense. They're not good at all defensively. Their defensive rating in the last 10 games is like almost 121 points per 100 possession. I mean, that's just not okay. And so we're seeing sort of like this struggle. But again, I think a little bit of it is, you know, switching out your best player. A little bit of it is, you know, the stress of the trade deadline and not pulling anything off until the last second. And then trying to blend all these new players in together. And so, you know, I don't think, you know, me and Kyle discussed it earlier on the Insiders. I don't think, you know, scoring 42 points by DeMar DeRozan is like something that is repeatable on a nightly basis. And it's not, it was a one game thing that helped you get over the hump in a specific game. But you have to find things to rely on as a team that are repeatable, that are, you know, like help develop like who you are as a basketball team. And they just aren't there yet. And that's because, you know, they made a lot of changes and now they've got to figure out a way to like incorporate all these changes in a very, very small window of time and try to find success. And, you know, again, you can't lose these two games right here. These are imperative games to win. I mean, this, it doesn't get any like bigger than these two games because these are two of the easiest games on your schedule that's left.
James, do you think they'll be able to do that? Do you think they'll be, not win these games, but be able to put together something sustainable? I know the advanced stats say what they say, but the most advanced stats says they're 14-8 in 22 games, and you find a way to win. You find a way to win. That's the most. That's the thing I want to be the most sustainable in. Finding a way to win. And I think James froze.
Yeah, no, James just thinks you're an idiot. That's what he thinks. James thinks it's so ridiculous he's just gonna stare a hole through you.
I'm back.
You are back.
Yeah, but you know, finding a way to win. I think that's their I think that right now at least is their defining trait. I think it's a tough team. I think it's a team that when their back is against the wall, they've answered the bell. And I think that's what one of the things that they're going to lean on moving forward for the second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, look, the problem is that it's not really the second half, right? We always talk about this, that, you know, they've got 29 games left right now. And by the time they get done with the next two, you're down to like a sprint, so the final 27 games of the season. I'm not saying that this is impossible and that they have no chance of making the playoffs or the play-in or anything like that. I just think it's going to be really tough to define who you are in a very small window of time. And it's possible. And I think getting some practice time and the 2 or 3 days coming out of the All-Star break is big. I think that's where, you know, some of these guys will probably stick around Sacramento and get in the gym and talk to coaches and sit here and try to work out some of the kinks of how they, you know, like where they like the ball passed to them and how they like screen sets and all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like you've got a very, very small window to figure everything out. And, you know, again, the Kings have switched out 3 of their top 8 players. And one of those was their number one player. And that's a tough thing to handle in the middle of the season. And it would be a tough thing for Phil Jackson or Greg Popovich. And it's an even tougher thing for a rookie head coach who took over a team, you know, 25 days ago or 30 days ago or a month ago, whatever it is. So like, look, I don't think that, that the thing is over by any means, but I do think that they're now like up against, you know, the eight ball, and they've got to figure out a way to win basketball games like what we talked about, Kenny, and I don't care how they win as long as they're winning. But at the same time, they have to develop who they are all over again as a team. And that's not really easy to find an identity in the final, you know, 29 games of the season. We've seen it happen here in Sacramento. We saw it 2 years ago where they came out of the All-Star break and were one of the best teams in basketball. And if they can repeat that, then I think we're in for a fun ride here. But that is very, very difficult to do. And the way that they're kind of putting themselves, that they have put themselves in this situation, you know, they probably need to go, 18-11 here in the final 10, in the final 29 games to have a shot, maybe even 19-10 in order to have a shot. And that's not going to be easy to do. That's a really high win percentage.
How do you think they're doing so far? Like, you talked about the advanced numbers and what the advanced numbers show you. Like, what how do you think they're doing in kind of finding their way here? In the, you know, I've been trying to make the argument that this is the third different version of their season. You had the Mike Brown version, the Doug Christie version, and now you have the post-De'Aaron Fox version. You know, how do you feel like they're doing so far in that regard?
Yeah, I mean, it's really tough because when you look at this team, they're turning the ball over like crazy, right? That's a horrible issue that's popped up over the last couple of weeks. They're not shooting the ball any better than they were before. You're having games where, again, like, players are completely forgotten, and then other games where they're the focal point. And so, you know, they need to find sort of that hub. And they need to, in my opinion, they need to run the ball through Domas way more until they solidify who they're going to be going forward. And that doesn't mean he has to put up 30 points a game, but that means that he needs to up his assist totals. He needs to be sort of like the rock that they have to sort of solidify who they can be and play off of him the whole time and hopefully develop some good habits off of that. But again, this team is like just turning the ball over left and right. They've had a couple of 20 turnover games here in the last week. And again, I think they have moments where they're good offensively, but on the defensive side of the ball, there's absolutely no identity at all right now. And they've got to figure that one out. And it's not easy. You know, we talked about it earlier, Kenny. Jake LaRavia told Mark Jones that, like, when he was in Memphis, all they do is funnel to the middle, right? They funnel to the middle because they've got Jaren Jackson Jr. and they've got Zach Edey and, you know, two big shot blockers, and the Kings funnel to the sidelines. And so, you know, you have guys that are going out there and, you know, whether they know what to do or not, like, just the basic tenets of who they have been as a basketball player for the last 2 or 3 years are now completely different. And they've got to figure those things out on the fly without hurting their team too much. And where these show up is fouls on your big men. That's exactly what happens. Anytime you see guards getting blown by, it's usually a game where Domantas Sabonis has 5 or 6 fouls, and it's him trying to help. And, you know, the last game, it wasn't Domas, it was Valanciunas. They kept getting caught in these situations where the guards were getting just completely blown by or caught in rotations, and the bigs are getting attacked. And again, he fouls out in like, what, 18 minutes of play. It's going to take a little bit of time. And that's why, you know, switching 3/8 of your rotation in on the fly isn't easy. And it's really not, you know, something I would suggest doing in most situations.
What do you think about Zach LaVine? Are you concerned about Zach LaVine? And just, you know, the low percentages he started off with here in Sacramento. Do you think this is what we're going to see here? Or are you still saying, hey, give him a little bit more time? I think we'll see a better version offensively of Zach LaVine.
Yeah, I think offensively, Zach is actually trying to find his way, and he's one of the guys that are starting to show signs that he gets it. I think the back cuts have been amazing. The lob threat that he's become, like a lob threat in the half court, is really difficult for a guard. And here he is, you know, flying up and doing all these crazy dunks and stuff. And you're like, okay, I get it. I see what he can be. Now, the 3-point shooting, you know, he's got to shoot better than 19.2% or whatever it is. That's just not going to cut it. But I also think that's settling in. And I think part of it is the fact that he had missed time before he got traded to Sacramento. He had been away from the team while they were working out a trade, number one, but number two, while his wife was having a baby. And so he had missed 8 or 9 days and just jumped right back on the court, and you got to play 30 something minutes. So I think we're going to see a better version of Zach LaVine on the offensive side. And I think it's not going to take him that long to figure out how to use Domantas Sabonis as a screener or Valanciunas as a screener, or, you know, like figure out where his teammates are so he's not turning the ball over too much. On the defensive side of the ball, like I think on ball, he's not a horrible defender. Like when it's mano a mano, it's when it's either switching or when he's off the ball and he gets lost in rotations. That's something that, you know, may take time, but in all honesty, I don't expect him to ever be a plus-plus defender. And you just hope that he's better than some of the plays that we've seen this so far from him on the defensive side of the ball. And again, like this is kind of what you got into. You knew what you were trading for when you got Zach LaVine, and he's just an incredibly talented offensive player who will figure that out really quickly. And then the other thing is, like, look, you know, he made a play on the final sequence the other night that I think helped change, you know, well, at least helped the Kings solidify the win. You know, we had that incredible up and under from DeMar DeRozan on the last play. And I watched the replay a bunch of times. Zach LaVine instantly looked around, spotted Kyrie Irving, and bolted straight towards him. And they couldn't inbound the ball to Kyrie on the final play of the game, and instead went to Spencer Dinwiddie, who tried to run over Malik Monk, and you know, basically he did run over
Malik Monk. I was going to say, I don't think he tried. I think he was pretty successful.
But the reason why that happened was because LaVine cut off the one real option that you wanted, which was Kyrie. And so those are things where it's like, look, he made a really smart defensive play and a really heady basketball play. Like, that's what you're hoping that he starts to bring, is more of those moments. But you also have to understand that, like, when you see, I'm sure you guys have seen videos of, like, the Ole defense when a guy got around one of their players and then he just kind of like fanned him right through and let him go right to the basket. Or like he looked away one time and somebody back cut him for a wide open look. Like, those are just the types of plays that you're going to have to live with because, you know, of what he brings on the offensive end. And again, I think when the ball's in front of him, he's not a horrible defender. Like, he can hold his own in man-on-man defense. But as far as switching, as far as like all of the other defenses that schemes, the zones that the Kings have been playing, that's where I think he does get lost, and you're going to have to figure out ways around that. And you're going to have to get on the practice court. And, you know, that's for me, that's the biggest thing. You need him on the practice court.
But it all has to be offset hammer with the way he's playing offensively. No, like, you don't want him to be a, you know, he's had moments where he struggled a little bit on the offensive end, particularly you go back to that Dallas game. Like, he just, now you could look at this in two different ways. DeMar having the game that he had in the fourth quarter, Malik having the game that he had in the overtime. But Zach LaVine wasn't there, at least on the offensive end. He wasn't there. And if you're going to have plays like that on the defensive end, you want it to be offset by what he's doing on the offensive end. You can't have essentially a 0-0 on each side.
Yeah, if he's not going to be locked in defensively and he's not scoring, then Keon Ellis is going to take his job. Mm. I mean, that's just, he's going to take his minutes, especially when some of your other guys are locked in. And I would say, too, that the Dallas game is just a weird game, right? Mm-hmm. Because Keegan Murray didn't shoot the ball at all in the first half. He didn't have a single shot attempt. Then he goes for 11 in the third quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we saw, you know, DeMar DeRozan have 21 in the first half. I'm like, oh man, that's a huge. And then he backs it up with another 21 in the second half in overtime. And so, like, that game just had a weird flow where
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It was like specific guys taking over, and I thought LaVine was really good in the second quarter, and that's when he started getting those lobs and those back cuts and some of those other plays. He had the one three-pointer he took, the one that he hit I think was in the third, and so like I think that this team is built very strange, and that they just have a whole bunch of offensive weapons and they haven't figured out, you know, whose turn it is, especially when you switch out De'Aaron Fox. And I mean, that's just a dramatic shift in everything. Nobody gets the paint touches that De'Aaron Fox gets. Nobody breaks down the defense like De'Aaron Fox does. Malik Monk is better than Fox in the pick and roll. But the pick and roll is a very specific play set designed to get to go to Domantas Sabonis or for Monk. It's not really for the 3-point shooters. And so it's going to be tough to balance this whole thing out and have guys step up and find their roles on the fly. And you hope that it does happen. You hope that they have like just this moment where it's an epiphany moment and it all works. But they're also like, I hate to say it, you need to be patient with this team. And that's not something that the NBA schedule is going to allow. And I'm hoping that, you know, again, you get these two wins here, you feel a lot better about yourself going into the All-Star week up three games above 500, knowing that you need to get probably 8 games over 500, 9 games over 500 to be a playoff team. And that would at least be a good start, but, they're just going to take time and that's, it's just difficult because they don't have a lot of it.
We'll come back. We'll talk more with James Hamm, the Kings and the Pelicans, night one. Here as
the WrestleMania,
I guess it is. They got two games back to back in New Orleans to close out the first part of the season. We'll talk more with our insider from the insiders. It's James Hamm with D'Lo McKC here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. James, let's take that question actually that you just answered there in the. Oh, I'm sorry.
Real quick.
Yeah, because you just said this to me and I'm just completely ignoring you. It's fine. No, the hell with what you want.
I got to make sure that people know about that beam money. They
prize
know about
picks,
prize
more or
picks.
Less on D'Lo paying attention to what his co-host is saying. Take the less every time.
I just got to make sure everybody knows, man. Beam money is going to be up soon on all the socials. KingKC_916.
Man, couldn't get him to change it.
And I don't have the lineup yet. But I do know that Malik Monk's more or less 3-pointers made. I'm going more. I'll tell you that right now. I'm on that. That's the one. I lost it last game. He had zero.
Okay.
But that's just a one off. My boy gonna be hitting some threes tonight. So okay. It's all good. If you want to get your lineup up there, that's great. You need to go to Prize Picks, set up your lineup for sure. But if you do that, you got to put in the promo code KIFM so you get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. You don't have to win or anything else like that. Just put the promo code KIFM in the promo code box. And you get a free $50 with your first $5 lineups. Must be present in certain states. PrizePicks.com for more details. PrizePicks, run your game. Beam money coming.
There you go. It's really weird that you phrase it that way, but that's fine.
Oh, that was crazy.
James, someone asked you during the commercial break, right there as the commercial break was coming to an end, about what you think is going on with Malik Monk. You want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I think Malik is one of those players that he's really excited about the opportunity ahead of him, right? He knows that all of a sudden he has gone from a really cool story and a six man to the starting point guard of the Sacramento Kings. And I think a lot of the times what I'm seeing is he's trying too hard. And, you know, I know he wants it and he wants to be really good. But you know, I think some of his 3-point shots have been forced. That was the biggest question. Over his last 10 games, he's shooting 25% from three, and that's on six shots a game. He's also playing 35 minutes, and you know, we've seen sort of the downturns from Malik in the past when it comes to his shooting numbers, and it usually is because he's playing major minutes and hasn't had a break and all that stuff. Well, that just got put on steroids. He just like fully. Has been, you know, he's playing way more minutes than he's used to this season. And since he's become a starter, it's more like 33, 35 minutes a game, as opposed to the 26 minutes a game he was averaging before. So it's going to take a little time for him to figure it out. But at the same time, like, look, he wants to win. He wants to be the guy. And that's admirable. And I don't think the Kings have done him any favors with going away from heavy pick and roll. Action with Domantas Sabonis. I need to see that like 15 times a game. And that just hasn't been part of what they're doing so far as they're trying to figure each other out. And it's a little bit difficult. It's to watch at some times. And he's turning the ball over more than he should. And again, that's just for me. You can see he's a little amped up. He's trying really hard to make an impression and to be the guy for this team. And sometimes that looks a little clunky.
I wanted to see, sorry, I didn't have this readily available, But I wanted to see his turnover numbers in that game against Dallas, because I thought that was one of the first times since he's taken over this point guard role. It felt like, it could be wrong,
turned the ball over four times.
Four times.
Oh. Yeah.
It felt like he was a little bit more under control, just visually looking. Like, obviously, he had four turnovers. But it seemed like he was really rushing himself, really in a hurry in these first few games as the point guard. And I thought he calmed down a little bit in the Dallas game. I don't know what the turnovers were. Maybe they were, now, maybe they didn't have anything to do with him being rushed or anything. But it felt like he's got the idea. Like, I can't, like, I remember the Minnesota game, and I know you saw it too, James. He was playing entirely too hard. Like, he would, to be a point guard or starting point guard and be able to play 38 minutes, like, he was going to wear down. And I was like, that's when I was like, yo, they got to get him a backup point guard because he can't do this. It felt like in this last game he had started to understand, you know, let me pace myself a little bit. And maybe he did, and he just had a rough turnover night. But I think that's what he's going to start to learn as time goes on.
Well, he had 8 assists early, and then he got stuck at 8. And to be honest, I think he had 8 assists and 2 turnovers. Like, when I saw the final box and he had 4 turnovers, I don't remember the last 2. I'm sure that if we went back and watched it, they'd probably stand out, because everything Malik does kind of stands out. But yeah, I think that, you know, like, this team does not have depth at that point guard position. And there's going to come a point where you worry about running him into the ground. And that's because, again, he hasn't done this. He hasn't played this many minutes in a season in his career. And all of a sudden you're asking him to do more and more and more. So I think he'll be fine. But I would like to see him get back to basics. I'd also say, like, whatever he did, like, he barely had any points at all, like, through most of the game. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up having 8 in the overtime session. And I thought he was so good in the overtime session that whatever energy he had left, you saw it. You saw it on that offensive rebound where he beat everybody to the ball on the baseline. Yep. Like, to me, that's the Malik that you need. But also, like, they started using the pick and roll, and he started getting right to the basket and just scoring, as opposed to finding Domas. And those are things that the Kings need to circle and say, like, how can we make him successful? What are the best grouping of plays to help him get rolling? And then I think what we're also seeing is that Malik has the same problem that De'Aaron had, and that is that he's playing a huge amount of minutes in the late first quarter and in the early second quarter with the second unit. And it's a bunch of second unit guys that have never played together before, you know, like that whole group, whether Jonas and Keon and Trey Lyles and Jake LaRavia, like that group of 4 have never played together. And outside of, you know, Trey and Keon playing some minutes together, but like the group of them have never played together. And Malik is being asked to lead that group in the same way that De'Aaron was asked to lead a group that was, you know, Keon and Trey and Kevin Herter and whoever that 4th guy was that you wanted to put in the game. Your number's going to dip right there because, you know, there isn't continuity. And there will be eventually, I think, especially with Valanciunas in the pick and roll, I think that that's going to be big for them. But also, I think that they've got shooters in that lineup that can really help Malik and sort of space the floor and let him do a lot of work. I'm hoping that he takes on that role of leader in that second group and find something that Fox really, you know, couldn't find. And that's because, to be honest with you, Fox was playing with a couple of guys that weren't playing to NBA standards.
The 2 turnovers from Malik, one was the Kyrie Irving play that got reversed. It was a foul call at first, and then they got reversed. And the other one was late in regulation, under a minute to go, tried to get the ball to Domas. Kyrie Irving steps in, steals the ball. Those 2 plays, you don't ever want him to turn it over, but those are, I think he was fine as far as like handling the ball and turning it over. The number, like, you don't want to see him with 4 turnovers, but those 2 are understandable moments, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, look, Dallas was forced to go small because like their 4 best centers are all out, right? So Lively and AD and Gafford got hurt in that game, and Dwight Powell didn't play at all. So when you go small, I know everybody just wants Domas to like dominate the post because, hey, there's no one big enough to go in there and stop you. But that's not always the case. Number one, like Dallas has a bunch of 6'7", 6'8" guys that are roaming around. They're collapsing defense. Smaller players are faster players. They, you know, again, they're able to be more flexible and quicker to react. And I think that that's why I saw a lot, because it wasn't just Monk that had turnovers on the entry passes. Remember the two egregious turnovers by Keon Ellis, where he was trying to hit the guy in the post, and Dallas was just all over the entry passes. And part of that's just because they were playing small and were kind of in scramble mode the whole time, and that happens. And so I think some of the reason why the Kings had 20 turnovers in that game was because they were playing against a team that was totally undersized, and not only that, but totally banged up and injured.
What do you think? I don't know if we had an opportunity to discuss this, or at least the opportunity to discuss it in depth. What did you think about the big boy lineup the other night with, you know, we discussed the possibilities of it happening, and we finally saw it with Valanciunas and Sabonis on the floor together.
Yeah, Valanciunas looked like if you go see like a fifth grade basketball game and there's one kid who's partially gone through puberty and is like 5'7" and everybody else is still like trying to get to 4 feet tall. He was just like rebounding the ball over the top of everybody and scoring, and I thought it was super fun to watch. I think that there's a place for it, but it's not going to be every night that you're going to see that. And you know, I think Valanciunas very quickly, I think everybody who watches a Kings game just now realizes how bad the Kings needed a backup center and how much he brings to the floor. And I think the fact that, you know, we're looking at a guy who's played 30 minutes a game for most of his career, but all of a sudden he's being asked to play 12 to 18 minutes, even as opposed to the like 22 minutes, 21 minutes he was playing in Washington. He's just coming in and saying, hey, look, this is all I'm going to get to play. And I'm going to play as hard as I can for that entire stint. And that means he's probably going to get some fouls. He's probably going to make a mistake here and there. But at the same time, like the rebounding has been off the charts. His ability to like grab the ball off the offensive rebound and score in the post, spectacular. Like all of these things you're looking at, I don't want him feeling like he's got to shoot a bunch of like mid-range jump shots or that he needs to take people off the dribble, because we've seen a little bit of that. But if you just like play within yourself and the basics of being a tremendously huge human being on an NBA basketball court, he should have a ton of success for this team. And then when you pair him with Domas, I think the games where we're really going to see this help out the Kings is if a game like tonight, like if Zion is playing, which who knows if he's playing or not, he's questionable at this point. But, you know, Eve Misi is a big kid, and they also have the other kid, I can't even, Mikovic or something like that. Like those guys, they're big dudes, and I think that the combination of Sabonis and Jonas Valanciunas, they might be able to wall off Zion from getting to his left hand and getting to the basket. I don't know that that's going to happen, because number one, I don't know if Zion's going to play, but also I don't know if anyone can stop him when he's getting downhill. But I think that that might give the Kings one of their best opportunities just to run sheer size at Zion and see what happens.
Yeah, Zion's still questionable. Bruce Brown is available to make his Pelicans debut tonight.
All right.
That's a guy that's going to have about 15. I'm just saying right now, you're going to have 15 on the Kings.
Okay.
I've seen this story before.
Yeah.
I like JV. And the two big lineup that you talk about, it was effective. Like you said, maybe it's not something they do all the time. Maybe it's a little situational. But I talked about it the other day. I like how Doug Christie said, I'm going to try it, and I'm not going to overreact to one or two plays. I'm going to give it a real honest shot to see if we can use it on a consistent basis. And it worked for him. You know, it worked for him the other night. And even if you're going up against two bigs, or if they're trying to go small, you can combat that. I think the IQ of JV and Domantas Sabonis will help you mitigate whatever downfalls they may have as far as matchup problems or something like that. Those are two high IQ players out there, and I think you can get away from it or get away with it from time to time, maybe 3-4 minutes a half.
Yeah, we haven't even seen them do a lot of the things that, you know, like when Doug played for the Kings, that Vlade and Weber did, you know, where they're running dual high posts or running one of them in the high post and just dropping one down on the block. I think we're going to see a lot of that if they get an opportunity here to play together, where all of a sudden Sabonis is feeding Jonas in the block. And I think that they could really have a solid, run here. But I also, there is concerns about just their ability to play defense together. Like, it's one thing when you're going up against a big team and you can slow them down a little bit and you can do things like walling off and stuff like that. But it's a whole other thing when all of a sudden one of those guys has to chase like a small stretch five or a stretch four who's bombing away from three, or a guy who's like that, but then can take the ball to the basket. Because again, I think when Valanciunas fouled out of the game the other night, it was a lot of those lineups with Sabonis where you're just a little slow in rotations and slow doing everything because you're running to near 7-footers out on the court.
Hammer, it sounds like, over the last 45 minutes, you brought up defense a lot. It sounds like your main concern with this team, post-trade deadline, is still on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was still a huge issue before the trade deadline. Before they traded De'Aaron Fox, this team was not great defensively, and they'd really started to slide as far as the defensive rating numbers. Mm-hmm. They had really taken a step back. But this is a team that, does not defend the three well at all. And they're just not a team that has like the chemistry on the court right now to really like get caught in rotations. And so I do think it's going to be a problem right now. Again, they're in their last 10 games, they're 25th in the league in defensive rating. And that, I mean, it's almost a 121. That's astronomical. Like, you're going to lose a lot of games when that's the case, and you're going to get blown out of a lot of games when that's the case, unless your offense is just like spot on. But I always tell you guys, like, one of the problems with defensive ratings and defensive metrics is they are hinged upon how well you play offensively. And I don't think this team is in sync right now offensively. They're not getting easy buckets and back and setting their defense. They're getting beaten transition here and there. And that's just a product of not being on the court together and really not knowing the guys around you all that well. And that just takes time. It takes time to learn. And, even like Laravia stuff, like funneling guys to the middle, and everybody else is funneling their guys to the outside, and you're funneling your guy to the middle. Why is that? It's like, oh, I didn't know we were doing that. Like, that's not something we did in Memphis. And those are things that you're going to have to figure out, because I guarantee you there are coaching things that Billy Donovan did there with Chicago that Zach LaVine is still doing with the Kings that are not part of the Kings scheme. And it's just, that's what his default settings are right now. And resetting settings in a player mid season is not simple at all.
When do you think, what do you think the schedule is going to be for these guys getting back from the All-Star break and getting into practice together? May they come into this practice facility a day earlier than normal because they know they got some work to do, or are we looking at a play on Friday, they might get back in there on Wednesday?
Yeah, I believe that that's what they I think, everyone will, like, people just go straight from the game on Thursday night. Like, they'll take a flight straight to whatever destination they're going. Some of these guys go to the Caribbean, some go to Cabo, some go to some spot in Mexico. They out of town as much as possible. Some of them have to like race home in a suitcase and figure out what they're going to bring to wear for a month and a half while they're finishing the season. Like Jake Laravia, Jonas Valanciunas, like, they're going to live out of a suitcase the rest of the season. Luckily for them in the Sawyer, they'll live right there. And like, it's not like they're going to be horrible. But they do still need to go get their clothes and that stuff. I think we'll see the players come back. I think they have to report back, I believe, by Tuesday. It's either Tuesday or Wednesday. And then they usually have a night practice that first night back. And so we're all down there at like 6 o'clock in the evening while the team is just kind of stretching their legs and getting back on the court. But I also think there are going to be a couple of players who leave really quickly and then come back way early. Or maybe they just go straight back to Sacramento and say, hey, I need the playbook. I need to sit here and study and get on the court with whether it's coaches or development coaches or something like that, or some of their teammates who have decided to not go leave and get away from basketball. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a moment where we're going to see some of these guys, get back in Sacramento and try to figure a lot of things out.
James, you got to win these two, don't you? It's a 12-win basketball team you're playing here. They're 12-41, I think. Like, you've got to win these two if you're Sacramento.
Yeah, I mean, without a doubt. Like, I one of my three keys was I said, it's a 12-win basketball team. It's a 12-win basketball team.
Yeah.
It's a 12-win basketball team.
Right.
Like, you don't get this opportunity to beat up on a team that not only are they a 12-win team, but they also have injuries. They also just traded one of their best players. Herb Jones is out for the season. You know, like, this is a beat-up team, too. And it's a beat-up team that, you know, didn't even really have any depth at center, and now they have even less depth. I believe they had to waive Daniel Tice, like as part of one of their transactions. And so, like, they just don't have either that or they traded him. Like, they just don't have any depth in the post. And so you should be attacking this team, especially Yves Missi. I mean, he's a young kid, 21st pick in the draft. Like, he really doesn't know what he's doing out there. He's playing everything by instincts at this point. And Sabonis is just taking his lunch money a couple of times. Like, go get him in foul trouble, because if once he's out of the game, like, they have a really difficult time scoring in the post outside of Zion going to his left the whole time. Yeah, you got to win these games. And, you know, that means that you're going to need a lot of Keon Ellis defending CJ McCollum. You're going to need to figure out a way to slow down Trey Murphy, who's playing really well. And, you know, but that's what you signed up for. There is no for this Kings team. There is no, like, getaway game here. You can't let off the gas. You got to go all the way through and try to get to three games over 500 heading into the break.
And I think they, yes. I think they know that. I think they understand that. You got a guy like DeMar who's been in the league a long time and understands moments like this and opportunities like this. I think he'll get that across. Doug understands it as well. He'll get that across. And Sabonis, he always seems to have a sense of urgency, just to his game and to winning on a consistent basis. So yeah. I'd be surprised. I'm with you guys. They gotta win. They have to win. But I'd be surprised if you saw a lackluster effort tonight. I think they'll be locked in for these next two games.
Yeah, and you hope that the Pelicans, because of their drama and everything surrounding them, that they're kind of checked out. I mean, they know where they are in the standings. They know they don't have an opportunity to claw back, and they also know this franchise is probably looking at, the Cooper Flagg situation and, you know, the draft pick situation, and hoping to get into that more than they are get into, trying to climb into the back end of the playoff race or the play-in chase. Go and take care of business.
Yeah, and use it as an opportunity to get better with your group out there.
Yes.
You know, you got Valanciunas, you got, Laravia, you got guys who, you know, need that time there out on the floor. We've seen Keon Ellis play a ton of minutes recently. Try to find a groove here. You got two games, you're not traveling, you got two left. There's always that, you're dragging into that last game at the All-Star break. Well, you're already there. Like that, and that's the good thing. Like I think we were kind of like, man, they're playing the Pelicans three times in like 5 days or something like that, 6 days or whatever it is. It's like, all right, at least you've got a back to back. Like, cool, it's right there. You're already there. Just settle in, play a couple of games, and then go do whatever you're going to do for a few days.
That's it.
And this is a team that punked you six times last season. They were 6-0 against you last season. Like, go out there and beat them.
So punk them three times in 6 days.
Yeah. And for that matter, Jonas, like, this is a team that decided they didn't want you. They moved on from you. And, like, go out there and show them what they're missing, because they clearly miss that guy. Clearly miss him.
Now, he had some fun in the last game.
Oh,
I think the camera caught.
A wink in there.
Yeah, hey, camera caught a couple of gestures there. I like that. Valanciunas is scary enough. piss him off a little bit. Like, hey.
Now you really got an issue.
Yeah, now we got some serious problems.
Yeah.
But I'm all
Kings
about
gonna
it.
Win tonight, man. They're going to win tonight. I think they're actually going to look the way people want them to look tonight. I think they'll look solid. I don't know if it's going to be like a blowout, but they'll play good basketball tonight.
I hope so. I truly don't care. Just win. I would prefer you not go down 20 to the Pelicans.
That, come on, man.
Or just 18, 16, 14, or 12. Don't do that. Eight, if you plus, that's fine. We do that. But, like, don't make the game miserable.
No.
Yeah. And don't go into the All-Star break under 500.
Oh, God, please don't do that.
Goodness gracious.
You'd have to lose both. Don't do that. All of a sudden, you got a surging Pelicans team at 14 wins because they beat Sacramento twice. Well, we know CJ's going to have an attitude problem tonight.
Well, so he's going to go off.
Keep that in mind. Just pencil in CJ for 32, and we'll figure out what else happens. But either way, man, we will be back here to recap it tomorrow, beginning with James Hamm and Kyle Mattson on the Insiders at 10 a.m. We're going to head over to 102.5 and give away tickets to see Tyler, to the Creator. Matt George will be with us tomorrow. Trista Crick will be with us in studio tomorrow. She's going to spend some time with us as she's out here in Northern California for NBA All-Star Weekend. So that's all coming up tomorrow. We appreciate you so much for being with us today here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Vamos Kings, light the beam.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.